You're listening to The 21st. I'm Brian Mackey. When we think of tornadoes in the United States, images of the Southern Plains, or maybe Oklahoma, as depicted in the 1996 action thriller Twister, come to mind. But actually, Illinois was home to two of the worst tornadoes in U.S. history. The Tri-State Tornado of March 1925 left 695 people dead as it tore a path from Missouri across southern Illinois and into Indiana. And the Mattoon Tornado in May 1917 killed 101 people in Illinois and injured hundreds more. Research from Northern Illinois University finds that tornadoes may become more severe and more frequent here in the state, especially as climate change pushes America's so-called Tornado Alley further north and further east into portions of Illinois, Indiana, Tennessee, and Kentucky. Victor Gensini is a professor of meteorology at Northern Illinois University in DeKalb. He was lead author of the study on Tornado Alley and its movements, and he joins us now. Professor Gensini, welcome to The 21st.
It's great to be on the show. Thanks for having me.
So let's start with the basics here. What exactly is a tornado? Why is it that they only seem to occur in the United States, or at least that's where you hear about most of them occurring in the central United States?
So the sort of scientific definition of a tornado is just a violently rotating column of air that sort of descends from a thunderstorm and creates contact with the ground. And of course, if it doesn't touch the ground, then we call it a funnel cloud. And in the United States, we see about 1,300 of these tornadoes every year. And they're very common in the geographic area of the central plains of North America. Most continents, except for Antarctica, see tornadoes, and they're sort of most prevalent in the mid-latitudes, both in the northern and southern hemisphere. But the reason we see the sort of greatest amount of reports here in the Great Plains is that we have this mountain range to our west, of course, the Rocky Mountains, and then that close proximity to the Gulf of Mexico, which is the moisture source, sort of the fuel available for severe thunderstorms. So it creates sort of this atmospheric conditions are essentially very ripe in the central United States. And you do get hot spots in other areas of the world, like Australia. Argentina actually sees their fair share of severe thunderstorms and tornadoes every year. Places even like Bangladesh are hot spots for tornadoes. But by and large, central North America, the Great Plains, when you look back through history, sees the most number of tornadoes every year.
So how many, you mentioned how many tornadoes nationally, how many tornadoes occur in Illinois every season or every year?
Yeah, we're generally up around 100. This year so far, we have 9 tornado reports. And of course, we're going into the peak of severe weather season here in Illinois. Illinois is a pretty big state. When you normalize for area, we're still usually in the top 10 in terms of counts of tornadoes every year when you look at all states.
And around this time last year, you predicted an outbreak of tornadoes in the U.S. that sort of came to be. By May 30th of 2019, there had been at least 225 tornadoes around the country in just a 12-day span. And before we get to how you were able to see that outbreak on the horizon, could you tell us, was it unusual to have that many tornadoes in the United States in May?
Well, May of 2019 was extraordinary in terms of tornado counts. I mean, usually you think of May as a very active period for tornadoes anyway, right? You're sort of in the peak of severe weather season. But we saw about 3 times the amount of reports that we would expect for that period. And so we started asking questions, right? Why did this happen? What was so anomalous about this May compared to Mays of the past? And that's what really sort of led us to dig into that study from a predictability standpoint. In fact, we, as you mentioned, we saw that particular 2-week window in late May coming as many as 4 weeks in advance. And we think that there are certain things that are happening across the globe, sort of tea leaves, if you will, foreshadowing, that we understand at least right now that can set up either very favorable patterns for tornadic storms across the U.S. or perhaps relatively unfavorable patterns, sort of like what we're going through right now, which as we go into the weekend here, we're going to see very cold temperatures and cool, dry conditions across the Midwest and portions of the Northeast.
You know, I it's interesting how far we've come with our ability to do forecasting. I was reading that more than 100 years ago, the word tornado was banned from U.S. weather forecasts because people didn't want to incite panic. But I mean, I think now nowadays, when most of us think of forecasts, maybe because they picture that graphic on the TV news or their smartphone, they think of a forecast as being something that can look a few days out. Maybe you can spot a storm coming in a couple of days, possibility of severe weather. But how can you know that an outbreak of tornadoes is possible weeks before it happens?
Well, it all starts with sort of background research and understanding what are the conditions present when these tornadic storms form. One of the things we know from research is that it's going to be very humid outside typically. So something that meteorologists measure called the dew point. When the dew point gets above a certain value, we start to think, all right, there's a lot of moisture present in the atmosphere. And if there's a lot of moisture and humidity present, that's sort of the fuel that thunderstorms need. And you couple that with a couple other ingredients, one of them being vertical wind shear, which is looking for the jet stream, a source of lift to get the thunderstorms rising up towards the top of the lower atmosphere. And then this component of instability. In other words, if you get a cloud starting to rise like a hot air balloon, how unstable is that air mass? And so we kind of go back through history and we look at some of these older outbreak events. You mentioned the tri-state tornado. The Plainfield tornado comes to mind in 1990 across northeastern Illinois. And we kind of play forensics. We look for these conditions and we understand that, all right, when you get this certain present conditions, we can have at least the possibility of tornadoes to occur. And so it's sort of like playing crime scene investigation. Every time one of these severe weather outbreaks goes and happens, we go back and sort of do the forensics. We pull out the metrics and we now have things like artificial intelligence and machine learning that allow us to go back through these historical data sets and begin to mine them with great precision and accuracy to get better forecasts. And so you're exactly right. The thing that sort of falls out of this is that our forecasts for severe storms have gotten exponentially better in the last 25 years.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to The 21st. We're speaking with Victor Gensini, professor of meteorology at Northern Illinois University. We're talking about tornadoes in Illinois. And if you have any questions or you want to share your thoughts with us, give us a call, 800-222-9455. That number again is 800-222-9455. Given all the sort of bad news that we've been living with for a couple of months now, I'm reluctant to ask this question, but do you have any predictions for this May or the rest of tornado season in Illinois this year?
Well, it's not always this easy, but sometimes past performance in meteorology actually does say a lot about what's to come. And we've had a very, very active before coming on the show. And sorry about that. I think I lost you there. The April has been very, very active. And so we got, it's like persistence, like forecasting the stock market. Do things continue to go up or down? And we use things like persistence in the long range forecasting, but we also use numerical weather prediction models. And we've had a very, very active April. We've had 73 fatalities so far this year, which is almost sort of the average count that we'd see for the entire year. Now we're in a really quiet period right now, but some of the forecasts that I'm looking at here coming up through the middle to the end of May look very active across the central Great Plains and even into portions possibly of Illinois and in the Midwest here by the time we get into mid to late May. So I'm afraid things are going to be quiet here for this week and maybe next week, and then perhaps really start to heat up as we go into the back half of May.
And so in general, taking a step back, are tornadoes becoming more common in Illinois?
Well, when you look at trends over the last 40 years, certainly the number of tornadoes that we've experienced in Illinois has gone up. And one of the questions becomes, well, is that a function of just more tornado reports, right? No tornado now goes unreported because we have things like cell phones and Doppler radar technology that just really don't allow for any tornadoes to slip through the cracks. But when you look at some of these other more objective measurements, like environmental conditions, for example, they actually do show a pretty marked increase in the tornado environments that we've had over the last 40 years. It's not a huge increase in that you may not know it from year to year, but when you look over a long time span, you can certainly see that increase. And I sort of liken it to a baseball analogy where you have maybe a 200 hitter and a 300 hitter. And if you're just casually watching baseball, you can't really tell the difference on a day-to-day basis of a 200 and a 300 hitter. But at the end of the season, we all agree that the 300 hitter is a better hitter. And when you apply that analogy to tornadoes, it's aggregating them over 30 or 40 year periods. And you can certainly see those upward trends that we've documented in that paper across places like Illinois.
And you've also looked at the idea of Tornado Alley sort of maybe shifting towards our region. Can you talk about where is Tornado Alley now and why should we maybe think of it including Illinois in the future?
Well, you know, Tornado Alley has generally been a media term, and I actually refrain
Sorry.
From using that as much as possible, right? Because I think Tornado Alley sort of eludes people to believe that when you close your eyes and think of tornadoes, you only think of them as happening in Texas and Oklahoma and Kansas. And of course, tornadoes can happen in all 50 states and really at any time of the year. And so when we kind of label these things like that, give them, you know, terms like Tornado Alley, and certainly, you know, the highest density of tornadoes that happen every year are in that sort of central Great Plains of the United States. But I think it allows for some degree of complacency in the general public that they, you know, begin to think that, Tornado Alley is not Illinois. I don't have to worry about these events. But of course, as you mentioned, again, in the start, we are not immune to these significant tornado events that happen across the Midwest. And so really what we've seen over the last 40 years is just an expansion of that greatest density of reports a little bit further to the east. And that becomes a huge deal for tornado vulnerability, because as you get east of the Mississippi River, the population density increases greatly. And in portions of the Mid-South, say Tennessee, Oklahoma, or Tennessee, say Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, we have lots and lots of mobile homes. And that's where we see a significant amount of fatalities.
So the idea is you don't want people to be complacent, but I guess what I am hearing from you is that people should be thinking of Illinois, even if we don't use the term Tornado Alley, people should be thinking of Illinois as a place that has a significant amount of tornado danger, and that danger may be increasing in the future.
Well, that's absolutely correct. And of course, when you compare Illinois to other areas of the globe, when you're putting us up against Oklahoma and Texas, sure. You may not think we have as many tornadoes as them, and you'd be correct. But when you put us up against, say, you know, Sweden, we probably have 50 to 100 times the climatological risk that, say, Sweden or Finland does. So we see these events more frequent than perhaps other areas of the world. And we have to be ready for the next Plainfield or the next tri-state, because one thing that we know is happening is that our cities are continuing to get larger, and the bullseye on the dartboard for these tornadoes to hit has become larger, and we will see more frequent disasters in the future.
Just a little more than a minute left in our conversation. Speaking of cities, what should Illinois communities and just everyday people be doing to make sure that they are staying safe and are prepared for this potential increase in tornadoes?
Well, I think you got to have a plan, right? It all starts with a plan, and things like mitigation, of course, housing stock, building codes are all things that are important, but it really comes down to the local emergency manager for each county. And those EMs have to be accountable for having a plan. And many of them do. I actually personally know many of the EMs across Illinois, and I know they're doing a fantastic job. In fact, probably better than many other states. But when it comes down, it's still personal responsibility. Every person in their home, especially if you live in a mobile home, has to have a plan in place in case a tornado warning is issued for their area. It's really as simple as that.
All right. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us. Victor Gensini is a professor of meteorology at Northern Illinois University, who's done some work on the increase in tornadoes that Illinois is likely going to be seeing in the coming years. Victor, or Professor Gensini, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us.
Yeah, this has been great. Thank you.
That is all the time we have for the 21st today. On tomorrow's show, we'll be talking about the connection between mental health and sleep, something that's been difficult for many of us during the pandemic with our new schedules and the stress we may be under. We want to know how you're coping, or if you've been having some sort of crazy COVID dreams. Share your thoughts with us. Send an email to talk@21stshow.org, or even better yet, send us a voice memo using your smartphone. Again, that email is talk@21stshow.org. podcastshow.org. If you want a little tutorial on how to send a voice memo, you can find one on our Twitter page. Just search for 21ST Show. That's 21st Show. Our show is produced by Libby Foster and Anna Casey. Technical direction and engineering comes from Jason Croft and Steve Mork. Reginald Hardwick is our news director. Special thanks to the band Public Access for our theme music. I'm Brian Mackey. The 21st is a production of Illinois Public Media. Thanks for listening. Talk to you tomorrow.